ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hello, Lisa Leong here for This Working Life, helping to make your work life better. And in this special bonus episode for Try This, you'll learn skills to help you support a colleague or employee when they're grieving. You can check out our full episode about managing grief in workplaces with researcher Diane Bergeron and the CEO of Grief Australia, Chris Hall. It's called How to Handle Grief at Work. It's on the ABC Listen app. But now it's time to get really practical. How do we have conversations about grief at work? Tasha Broomhall is the founder and director of Blooming Minds, and she helps organisations learn how to do this. Hello, Tasha.
Hey, Lisa.
So, Tasha, when we talk about grief, we usually associate it with the death of a loved one, but there are other kinds of grief we experience at work. What types have you come across?
So when we're talking about grief, we're talking about any significant loss that a person experiences. So it could be the breakdown of a relationship, such as a romantic partnership or estrangement in a family. It could be loss of a pet. We're hearing more and more about the impacts of that in the workplace and people's relationships. It could be loss of a work team. So somebody who's made redundant, or maybe somebody who is taken through, a significant work challenge. Change program, which means that I usually get to hang out with you every Monday at work, Lisa, but now we're not going to see each other and we're not going to get to go and have that coffee together to start the week. And that might feel like a real loss to the way that, my week's usually shaped.
We received this voice memo from Joyce in response to my post on LinkedIn about managing grief at work. Take a listen.
I had lost a long-term childhood friend. And I remember going back into the office and how surreal it felt that the office was normal, buzzing, yet everything in my world had shifted. And I felt like I was standing still when everything else was spinning around me. And I would say, what I needed at that point was to just have colleagues who have the emotional awareness to sense that something was not quite right and to be gentle with me. Not necessarily ask what's going on, but just to have that emotional sensitivity. And I would say in terms of my own experience of dealing with colleagues who have and staff who have experienced grief at work, my tips would be to have that emotional awareness and know that people are coming into work and they are humans, and to know that everyone has a life outside of work and there are emotions behind that. And, quite often people at work are going through, there's a lot of people going through a hard time at any given point. So just to have the emotional sensitivity to ask people if they're okay, if you do find out that something is wrong, that they have lost someone, they also take work off their plate if that's something that they might need. But also to say, if you need to work, then work, not presume what they might need. Some people like to work to distract themselves as well.
Any reflections, Tasha?
Such beautiful suggestions from Joyce there. Absolutely remember the humanity of this person that you're working with. And so don't try to push them through your process and idea. And I really love that acknowledgement that for some people, coming back to work and feeling like the world around you is just getting on with it can be so confronting. Whereas for other people, it's the perfect opportunity to step into something that, not a distraction as such, but something that engages your mind in a way that you can feel a sense of normality. And so it's about, recognizing again that it's different for different people, and giving those options is, I think, incredibly important.
When the person who's experiencing grief comes back to work after time off, it can be actually quite difficult to know what to say to them. So what would you recommend as a starting point?
I'm a big believer in acknowledging awkwardness. So if it feels a bit awkward, I think it's okay to say that and to say it without pushing it onto the other person. So I might say to you, Lisa, this is really awkward. I don't want to say the wrong thing, but what I do want to do is let you know that you're really loved and supported. And if we have anything we can do to care for you, let me know what that might look like. I can either give you some options that I can think of, or we can wait for you to feel it over the next couple of days and see what you might like. How do you feel about that? And so actually, you know, going through initially just connecting with the person, greeting them, asking them, I would suggest a couple of days before they come back, what they want that to look and feel like. So have either an email or a telephone exchange where you say, hey, Lisa, I know that you're due to come back on Monday. Have you got any thoughts about what might be helpful for you on Monday? You know, can I grab you your favourite coffee order and put it on your desk? Or is it that you'd like us to all ignore the time that you've had off and not talk about it until you're ready? Like, what would you actually like? And be really open to being flexible with the approach that person would like.
I wonder if sometimes we have a bit of a story that says, look, I just want to give them space, but actually that is a bit of a cop-out. And that what I'm hearing from you is that communication is key here.
Yeah. So one of the most common things I deal with in my work is people saying, I just didn't know what to say, so I said nothing. And that's in relation to grief, but all sorts of other difficult, challenging conversations in workplaces. And so what we want to do is we want to say, you don't have to have the perfect words. You can actually just acknowledge, I'm not quite sure, but you can still have that conversation with the person. So absolutely, communication is key.
All right, and we're going to go into some specifics in just a tick. The idea of doing this story is that we can learn how to put the person experiencing the loss at the centre of it. What do you think is the best way to do that?
I think connection is key. So connecting with the person and being curious about what's going to work for them, not coming in with just your own perspective. Australia is a beautifully diverse country, and we are not all going to have the same coping strategies or even rituals around grief. So you and I might have, again, the same loss, but we might come from really different cultural or religious backgrounds where the approaches to managing grief need to be really respectful of our own styles. And I think that curious approach, not thinking you have to have the answers, not trying to over schedule someone's grief, you know, not trying to push them to experience what you think they should be experiencing at that point. I think curiosity is key.
You have a technique that you teach organisations. It's called listen loudly. Can you talk us through it?
Yeah, so there's four steps to listen loudly, and we use it in lots of different settings, but particularly useful in grief. And so the idea is, you've probably had this experience, right, where you're talking to someone and they jump in and they try and tell you what to do before they've even listened. Or they try and climb the trauma ladder with you and go, oh, you think that's bad, Lisa? This happened to me. It's much worse. Not helpful, not connecting, not curious. So instead, what we want to do is we want to maintain that connection and that curiosity. So the four steps of listen loudly. The first is to acknowledge. So when you're telling me about something you've experienced, it's for me to then not share my opinion or perspective and say, oh my gosh, yeah, I helped that once in 1978. But instead for me to say, oh wow, Lisa, that sounds like a lot. Or goodness, that sounds like you've had so much that you've been having to deal with. Or, oh my gosh, what a shock. So whatever it is that you've actually said, I'm going to acknowledge that back to you. It's incredibly validating and can be really stabilizing for people to know that they're being heard. The second step is to express empathy. And ideally, you're going to do one and two together once you've got a bit of practice. But expressing empathy might sound like, I'm so sorry that's what happened for you. Or I'm really sorry you're going through this. That sounds so difficult. So you're acknowledging, you're expressing empathy. And then before we go to step three, we actually ask permission. So I'm going to say to you, Lisa, do you just want me to keep listening? Or would you like me to help you figure out where you take your first step? And if you say, just keep listening, I'm just going to keep listening. And if you say, I want to know, you know, I would like some support, I'm not quite sure where to start, then we're going to go to step three, which is explore options. So I'm going to say to you, based on where you're at the moment, have you got any thoughts of what you want to try next? Now, if we're thinking of grief, this might be a long time before we get to that point of options, or there might be some really practical things we need to do immediately. So again, there's no timeline. It's listening to the person. But exploring options, if you can't think of anything you'd like, then I might say, look, I'm not sure, but if I was in your situation, I might try X, Y, or Z. Do any of those feel like they could be a good option for you? And then if you say yes, then we go to step four. 4, which is plan action. Okay, based on the Z that you chose, what can I do to support you with that? What would the first step look like? And it's just about helping to slow down that listening process. I had a fella on a mine site that I was working with yesterday say to me, I'm a mechanic, Tush, and I'm used to just using tools. And I said, okay. And he goes, but I know not everyone needs to be hit up the side of the head with a tool anymore. And I was like, oh, great learning. And so he'd used that lesson out yesterday morning with someone who was distressed in his workplace. And it was a really great example of it's just a new kind of tool, right, is being able to slow down that listening and talk to people.
I know that people are going to wonder, how do you know when to move to the next step from, you'd say, acknowledge to empathy or even to the next step of exploring options then?
Yeah, so it's like I said, it's that asking permission. Do you want me to just keep listening? Is this helpful? Because some of us, we have to take it all out of our head, rearrange it, and then we can put it back in, right? So we're vocal processors. Other people, they process it in their head. So we're not going to know necessarily for the other person at what stage they're at unless we actually ask them. And that's, again, that awkwardness. It's okay to ask. If I'm asking so I can honour you, that's okay. I'm not asking because I'm being voyeuristic or malicious in any way. I'm asking because I want to honour you. And so I can say that, hey, Lisa, I don't want to rush you before you're ready. If there's some things that you'd like me to still listen to, I'm here. But if you're ready to actually think about what thing we're going to do today to make, you know, this project deadline that I don't want looming over you, to make that go away so that we can actually figure out which bits you do and don't want to be involved with, then I'm happy to talk that through and look at options as well. Which would you prefer? You know, so actually just engage with the person.
And Tasha, how can the person experiencing the grief take care of themselves in this process of being at work?
I always suggest that people listen loudly to themselves as well. So we are really good at trying to push down our emotions and just ride through them. And that's not always the most helpful coping mechanism. Sometimes it does. It gets us through something that we just need to be able to push forward and get through. But there are other times when actually we need to stop and listen loudly to ourselves. So rather than beating ourselves up for our emotions, actually just acknowledging them and thinking, wow, I'm having a really big reaction to that, bigger than what I would have expected. If we're going through grief, to just acknowledge how it does feel for us, to have empathy for ourselves for how it feels, rather than to beat ourselves up because I'm not coping as well as you are, or I should have or could have or would have done something different. And then to explore those options. So based on how I'm feeling, what do I need? What would help me at this moment? Is it someone totally independent to talk to who's not going to throw their 2 cents worth in with me? In which case, get some professional help. And there's beautiful resources across Australia people can access in person or online. Or is it that I just need someone to practically come and help, you know, call a girlfriend to come over and just look after the kids so I can just go for a walk and try and deal with what this is that's going on or deal with some of the practical things?
Thank you so much, Tasha.
Thank you.
That's Tasha Broomhall, founder and director of Blooming Minds. Thanks for listening to This Working Life with me, Lisa Leong. If you haven't already, search for This Working Life on the ABC Listen app. Tap the heart to follow all of our stories. This episode was produced by Michelle Weeks. We're on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Naarm, Melbourne. Until next time, love your work.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.